Well, today we're continuing our series titled The Bible, A True Story. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Daniel chapter 6, as we'll get to that shortly. Last week we looked at one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And today we're going to look at another one of my favorites as we look at Daniel and the lion's den. Now, as I mentioned last week, both of these stories probably rank in my top 10 stories that I learned back in Sunday school growing up. And these are two very similar stories found in the book of Daniel that highlight people who were devoted to the Lord and God's miraculous hand upon their lives. Now, before we dive into our scripture this morning, let me help catch us up on where we're at here in the Bible. As I've mentioned the last few weeks, we're now in the section of the Bible that focuses on the prophets. And these are prophets that God raised up in both Israel and in Judah during the times of the kings. And then also after the fall of Israel and Judah. And Daniel is one of the prophets that he raised up after the fall, after they were led into exile. If you remember from last week, Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were young teenagers of nobility. And so when they were taken into exile, they were forced to serve in the king's court. And as young men of God, they faced some immediate challenges. They were stripped of their identities as King Nebuchadnezzar gave them new names, taking away their Hebrew names that talked about God and who they were in God. And so they were given these names that represented the Babylonian gods. Also in the king's court, they were supposed to eat food that went against their Jewish beliefs. And then last week we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how their lives were threatened for not bowing down to the king's idols. And through it all, they remained faithful to the Lord. And in that, the Lord protected them in the midst of the fire, and literally for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But now as we head into chapter 6 of Daniel, a lot has happened. A lot of time has passed since the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 4, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar becomes so arrogant, so pompous and proud that God actually tells him through a dream that Daniel interprets for him that he's going to be driven from his kingdom and live like an animal for 7 years, basically until he acknowledges that God is the Most High God. And so that's what happens. He ends up living in the field, eating grass like an animal, until he finally comes to the place where he acknowledges God. And because of his willingness to finally acknowledge the Lord, God restores him to his kingdom. But then over time he passes away, and his son Belshazzar takes over the throne. And Belshazzar, in his pride and arrogance, sends for the golden goblets that were taken years ago from the temple in Jerusalem when Babylon captured Jerusalem. And these were sacred goblets of the Jews used in the temples. And he and his nobles decided to use them to drink from at a party. And then in this party, something crazy happens. Suddenly, out of nowhere, this hand just appears in the air, and it begins to write these words on the wall. And as you can imagine, those that were there were pretty freaked out by this sight. I mean, wouldn't you be freaked out if all of a sudden this hand appears out of nowhere and starts writing on this wall? And they were freaked out, and they wanted to know, what do these words mean? What was written? And so Daniel is actually brought in, and he actually deciphers these words for the king, which basically said, your days of reign are numbered, and your kingdom will be conquered by the Persians and the Medes. and his days were definitely numbered, because at that very night, Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. Now, it's interesting to me as we look at the last several hundred years here in the Bible, because we had had Israel, who was this great and powerful nation. But then because of their sin, Babylon comes along and conquers Israel and all of the nations surrounding them, becoming this great world power. But less than 100 years later, Babylon is then conquered by the Medes and the Persians. And then after them, after the Medes and the Persians, came the Greeks and the Romans. And if you know history at all, you know that this great Roman Empire that was thought to last forever, it too eventually fell. The fact is, nations rise and fall time and time again throughout history. Even in our more modern history, we've seen changes. We know that England and France were once these great powers. And some in this room may remember when Italy was a major power in the world, that they threatened to dominate Europe under the leadership of Mussolini. And we know Germany and Hitler were on the verge of conquering the world before their downfall. And then for some of us maybe younger here, in the early 80s, the Soviet Union looked like it might be on the verge of world domination in the midst of the Cold War, but they too fell from power in the late 80s and early 90s. And the U.S. has definitely had its ups and downs over the years. And so, like I said, nations rise and nations fall. They come and they go. But the Bible tells us in Acts 17 that God marks out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And I think one of the most interesting things to me about this is that the rise and fall of nations has had very little impact on the movement of God and His people. And what I mean by that is this: God and His plans aren't affected by who or who isn't in power. Now, you would think that the fall of Israel would have been devastating to the Jews, that it would have wiped out God's people. But in the midst of this new and very corrupt world power known as Babylon, God continued to raise up His people. It's then that we see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego promoted into places of power and authority. And then as Babylon falls, we see that Daniel, who had become the prime minister of Babylon, somehow finds himself in the same role of the Medo-Persian Empire, reminding us once again that God is in control. And I think it's important for us to understand this, because I know that we live in a great nation. We've had lots of freedoms and blessings over the last couple hundred years, but we have no idea what the future holds for our nation. What will it look like 10, 25, even 50 years from now? Will it be better, more powerful? Will it be weaker or worse? Will we still even be a nation? The fact is, only God knows. Only God knows these things. But regardless of what it looks like, we can hold on to the fact that God is in control, and He always will be in control. And I think it really comes down to the question for us of whether or not we're following God. As we get into Daniel 6, we find a lot of time has passed. Daniel is old now. He's in his 80s. And he served under some very prideful and arrogant kings. He's experienced a lot of changes, a lot of ups and downs. But through it all, he's kept God at the center. And because of that, God has led him and helped him through these times. You see, Daniel didn't let circumstances affect who he was as a servant of the living God. And I think there's a lot that we can learn here from Daniel. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along here in Daniel chapter 6, verses 3 through 28 as we look at our scriptures this morning. This is what it says. It says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.' The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, governors, they've all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.' So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. 'Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, will be thrown in the lion's den?' The king answered, 'The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed.' Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day.' When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, 'Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed.' So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.' A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.' The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones." And let me just say this. This is a reminder that our sins don't just affect us. They affect our whole family. Verse 25, "Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and the people of every language in all the earth, 'May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions.' So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." I love this story. like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, we see an amazing faith and another miraculous move of God to protect his people. Now, the funny thing is, I was preparing this message, is I realized I could have spoke the exact same message this week that I spoke last week, but just replace the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the name Daniel and change the fiery furnace to the lion's den. Because like we learned from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego last week, Daniel was also devoted to God and made God his priority. And God was with Daniel in the midst of the fire. But for him, the fire this time was the lion's den. And then we see that his faith and courage inspired others as well. And so I could have used the same 3 points. I could have spoke pretty much the exact same message, but I'm not. Now, I can't deny that part of me wanted to, just to see if any of you would notice, but then I thought it'd be more embarrassing for me if nobody did. I guess I don't want to know if you're actually listening or not. I'm just assuming that you are. And I guess if you're not, it wouldn't be the first time that people didn't listen to me. But anyways, as I knew that I couldn't use the exact same 3 points, and that's not what God was calling me to do this morning, as I read and reread through Daniel, I was inspired myself by the person that Daniel was. Who was he? Who was Daniel? That's the title of my message this morning. And that's the question I want to answer. And as I look at these scriptures, there were 4 things that I think we can discover about Daniel as a person, and that's what I want to share. And so the first thing that I think we discover in this section of scripture about Daniel is this, is number one, he was a person of integrity. These other leaders, they were jealous that this foreigner, this person that had been captured, was being given greater authority than they had. And so they made it their goal to dig up some dirt on Daniel, to find anything they could to get Daniel fired. But the problem was, is that they couldn't find anything. In verse 4, it says the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. They could find nothing on Daniel because he was a man of integrity who honored God in everything he did. Daniel, it's interesting, he's one of the few people we see in scriptures that the Bible has no dirt on. As I look through, I realize we don't see any dirt on Daniel. But if we look at some of the other people we've talked about in our series, we see that Abraham was a liar. He lied, saying that Sarah was his sister because he was afraid. He was afraid that he might be killed by the Egyptians. And he didn't just do that once. He did it twice. Abraham was a liar. Jacob, he was a deceiver. He deceived his father so that he could get the blessing that should have been given to his older brother Esau. And Moses had an anger problem. He got so angry that he ended up murdering the Egyptian slave master. And then David was an adulterer and a murderer. He got another man's wife pregnant, and then he had him killed to cover it up. And the list goes on and on, because the Bible doesn't shy away from our sins and failures. But when we get to Daniel, we see a man that went through all kinds of challenges and struggles and changes in his life. And through it all, he continues to walk in integrity. And when I look at Daniel's life, I realize that's the kind of person that I want to be. Because the truth is if people looked into my life, they'd be able to find some dirt. I have a past. as many of us do, and I fail at times in my life. As a matter of fact, this past week I had to apologize to a couple people because I realized I had allowed myself to talk unkindly about someone in a way that I shouldn't have, and the Lord convicted me on that. And at home, I don't always control my anger. I'm a lot like Moses at home. I haven't killed anybody, but I struggle with anger at home. And I get frustrated because I can control it in public and around you. But at home, my anger comes out. But the thing is, I'm striving to grow in this area of my life. I'm striving to be like Daniel, and I hope that I've gotten better because I want to be a person of integrity in all aspects of my life. And I hope that's true of all of us. And let me say this. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short, which means Daniel wasn't perfect. He too was a sinner. He too had imperfections. But we see that he was a man of integrity that sought to live the life that God had called him to live. And he was doing his best to live that out each and every day, whether people were around him or not, whether he was out in public or at home. And that's God's desire for all of our lives. And I'm guessing that it was the second thing we learn about Daniel that probably helped him live this life of integrity. And that was the fact that he was a person of prayer. He was a person of prayer. At the end of verse 10, it tells us 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. 3 times a day Daniel did this. Now, as you read this in the scriptures, it sounds like this was something Daniel did every day. It was something he had made a priority in his life. And as I thought about this, I decided to do a little math. Now, we know that Daniel is in his 80s. Some people think maybe around 85 at this time. We don't know. But we know that he was in his 80s, and we know that as a teenager, we saw his faithfulness to the Lord as a young man. They thought when he was brought into exile, he was somewhere between the ages of 13 and 19. And so if we're being conservative, and we say that he started praying 3 times a day at the age of 18, let's say, and if we just say till 80, that means he's been praying like this for at least 62 years. So if we take 62 and times it by 365, we get 22,630 days of praying. And if we times that by 3 times a day, we get 67,890 prayers. And that's not counting leap years, because there's leap years in there too, which would add more days and more times praying. But 67,890 prayers. That's a lot of faithful praying. And I think that's why Daniel was the amazing man of God that he was. And I wonder how different would our lives be if we were that dedicated to praying and seeking the Lord every single day of our lives. And I'm not just talking about telling God everything we want. Because if that's all that prayer is for us, then we're missing the point. Prayer is a powerful thing. And that's because when we pray, we come before the Lord and we connect with Him. We seek His will, His answers for our lives and the lives of those that we're lifting up. Prayer is about connecting with God and aligning our hearts with His, so that as we pray, we're able to pray with all sincerity that not our will, but God's will be done. That was Daniel. Daniel lived through the exile of Israel. He lived through multiple kings in Babylon. He lived through the conquering of Babylon as the Medes took over. And through it all, he continued to find favor. And he continued to be used by God. And I believe a lot of that was because he was a person of prayer. And I think it goes back to something I've said several times that I learned from Pastor Ron Mal. At a youth pastor conference several years ago, you've heard me talk about this. He shared the story of what his mom told him as he left for Bible college. She said to him, if you want to experience God's blessing in your life, be blessable. Be blessable. In other words, be the type of person that God would want to bless. You see, Daniel, he made prayer a priority. He sought to honor God with his life in every aspect and in every way. He lived his life in a way where he was blessable. He made it easy for God to want to bless him. And I believe if we make God our priority, if we take time to pray and to seek his will, first off, we're going to grow in him and our understanding of who he is and who he desires us to be. But secondly, I believe it's one of those ways that we make ourselves blessable as we bring glory and honor to the Lord. Daniel was a person of prayer, and we can see how his love and dedication to seek God in prayer greatly impacted his life. And then the third thing I noticed about Daniel in these scriptures was this. He was a person of obedience. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this point, and that's only because it's very similar to what we talked about last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because in verse 7 it says, the royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown in the lion's den. And so like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel knew the commands of the Lord. He knew God's commands. He knew that there should be no other gods before God, and that he shouldn't worship anything but God himself. So Daniel knew that to pray to King Darius would have been disobedience to God. To worship anyone or anything but God would have been wrong for Daniel. And so he chose to walk in obedience. He chose to continue to obey the Lord regardless of what consequences he might face. Now, I've mentioned numerous times that it seems like this idea of obedience works its way into almost every one of my sermons. And I think that's because it's one of the keys to following Jesus. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be disciples of Christ, we have to seek to walk in obedience. We have to seek to follow God's commands. Now, I know for some people it almost seems like an oxymoron, but following God's commands is how we actually experience freedom. You see, we have to understand that his commands aren't about a bunch of rules and guidelines to make our lives less fun than others out there. A lot of people believe, man, Christians, man, God, he's just about ruining people's fun. It's just a bunch of rules and regulations. That's how people see that. But we have to understand that his commands aren't about a bunch of rules and guidelines to make our lives less fun. His commands are there because he loves us and wants to protect us. And they actually bring freedom to our lives because he knows what happens when we put other things before him, when we worship other things. He knows the pain and hurt that the things of this world bring to our lives. And there's already enough pain and hurt from just living in a fallen world. And so he's given us his commands to help us keep from feeling any more hurt and pain than we need to. When we walk in obedience, we actually experience freedom. And like I mentioned with prayer, I believe when we walk in obedience, it actually makes us blessable. think about this for the parents in the room. How many of us don't want to bless our kids when they listen and obey our commands? Right? When our kids listen and obey, when they obey, I want to bless my kids. I want to show them how much I love that they've listened and obeyed. And the same is true for the Lord. Daniel was a man that continued to obey the Lord, and we see how God continued to bless him. And remember, it didn't mean that he didn't experience difficulties. As we mentioned, Daniel experienced a lot of ups and downs, being taken into exile and this and that and losing your name and all these other things that happen. But because of his obedience to the Lord, he continued to experience God's blessing in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties that he faced. And when we walk in obedience, when we walk in obedience, we too will experience God's blessings upon our life. And then the final thing I think we can learn about the person of Daniel is this. He was a person of faith. Daniel knew what the consequences of continuing to pray to God each day were. He knew that he could find himself thrown into the middle of a bunch of hungry lions. But he didn't care because his faithfulness to the Lord was more important. He was a man who put his faith and trust in God alone. And in verse 23 it says, "And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God." You see, it's one thing to say that we're people of faith, but it's another thing to show it. It's another thing to actually live it out. Daniel was a man that lived out his faith. He knew that God could save him if he chose to. He also knew that he might not. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was willing to give his life to remain faithful to the Lord. I want to share with you a little story. I think I've shared this illustration at some point before, but I think it helps illustrate my point. It says this: one night a house caught fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump, son, I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life, so that he wouldn't be burnt in the fire. But all the boy could see, however, was flames, smoke, and blackness. And you can imagine he was afraid to jump from the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump, son, I'll catch you." But the boy responded, "But Daddy, I can't see you. I can't see anything." The father then replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." The boy then jumped because he trusted his father. And I share that story because the reality is it all comes down to whether or not we trust the Father. Are we willing to jump? When God says jump, are we willing to do what he asks us to do? Daniel was willing to jump. Daniel was a person of faith who trusted in the Lord. He was committed to God and to living the life that he had called him to live. And if we want to be people of faith, then we need to be willing to trust in the Lord. To trust that even though we can't see him or even see what lies ahead, that he can see and he has a plan for our lives. When we look at Daniel, we see Daniel was an amazing person. He was a person of integrity. He was a person of prayer. He was a person of obedience. He was a person of faith. And I believe God is calling us to be these things. And I realize that it might be a little daunting to look at this man, Daniel, and think, man, how can I ever get to that point? But we got to start somewhere. And it starts with baby steps. little steps closer to the Lord. God doesn't expect us to jump from here all the way to here in just one moment. He's patient with us. His desire is to see us grow, to take those baby steps closer and closer to Him each day. And the thing we have to realize is if we take enough baby steps, right? Little steps. Look, little steps. If I keep moving, little bit by little bit, and little bit, faithful little steps, we end up getting, look, what equals a big step. It's a process. But it starts with choosing to seek Him, choosing to follow Him and allow Him to guide us and help us grow in our relationship with Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Daniel and the example that he is to each of us. Lord, a man of integrity, a man who sought You in prayer, a man who walked in obedience, a man who stood firm in his faith. Lord, I want to be like Daniel, and my prayer is that all of us come to that point of understanding. We want to be like Daniel. We want to strive to live those kind of lives. And Lord, maybe it seems far off when we look at Daniel and look at where we're at. But can we be people, Lord, who take those baby steps each and every day, that we're just a little closer than we were the day before, Lord? That we're just striving to be the men and women of God that You've called us to be. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You that You meet us where we're at. And again, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to each of us. Lord, what are those things that You are asking of us? Lord, maybe there's one thing today. Maybe it's the integrity. Maybe it's spending more time in prayer. Maybe it's obedience. Maybe it's stepping out in faith, Lord. Would we help us to grab hold of that thing that You're speaking to each of us as individuals today, and to begin to walk those things out in You, Lord. Again, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these things. May Your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.